Well, we return to the book of Acts. Tonight, Acts chapter 9, verses 32 through 43. Give your attention now as this is a reading of the very breath of God, the God's word, Acts 9, 32. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise, make your bed." Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works, charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose, went with them, and when he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. So far, the reading of the word. The grass withers, flowers fade, but the word of God remains as vibrant and living, effective, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the word of the living God. Let's pray together. Father, we come now to worship you in hearing, and hearing by that word you have ordained, that in the mouth of one who preaches to the heart of those who believe, the word of God would go forward and accomplish the ends you have ordained for it. Work now, Father, in both the one who speaks and those who hear, that we might glorify and honor Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, in the age of social media, going viral gets the attention of lots of people in a very short time. But does it last? Seems like every week there's another person who's gotten a million hits on whatever. Best-selling books have an influence for a much longer time than some Insta-chat snap website thing. Televangelists have had large crowds, worldwide broadcasts, sometimes for many years. But the Lord, at least at this time, right, did not use TV or a computer. That was not the main method of building his church. I used to think as a young Christian, why did the Lord not wait a little while till the technology caught up with being able to spread, and then the gospel would have spread quicker? No, over the last 2,020 years, the main method of spreading the gospel has been preachers preached. The great commission Christ gave was not wait for the technology to catch up and then you can spread the gospel. Rather, he said, go. In Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Matthew 10:7, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 28:19, the great commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Acts is the record of how the followers of Jesus Christ carried out that commission. Paul is going to play a big role in that spread of the gospel. But Paul has gone away from the conflict. His conversion stirred up a hornet's nest of controversy. Our attention is now brought back to Peter. It appears that Paul leaves and possibly, according to some of the commentaries and trying to piece all the things together, Paul is away for perhaps 10 years. The church doesn't stop. The ministry of the gospel and the apostles didn't end because Paul went away. Now it came to pass. Peter and the other apostles were told by the Lord to preach all over Israel. They walked. Didn't have a bus. Didn't have an RV. Didn't have any kind of public transportation. They walked all over that country, through all parts of the country, literally throughout. And now Peter comes to Lydda, comes to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. The question is, how did Christians show up in Lydda? We don't know. But piecing some things together, it seems most likely that this was Philip's doing. You know that there were 12 apostles, right? Not just Peter and Paul, James and John. There were 12. We have almost no record of most of their work. The book of Acts tells us a great deal about Peter, Paul, not much about Thaddeus. Can you tell a story about Thaddeus? No, you can't. But does that mean that Thaddeus didn't do anything? Highly unlikely. That Peter went off and did what the Lord said, but Thaddeus sat in Jerusalem and did nothing. Highly unlikely. Here, we are told saints, Christians, lived in Lydda. And Peter comes to them on his preaching travels. What do we see in these verses, verses 32 through 35? We see the blessing of Christianity, the goal of Christianity, the power of Christianity, and the impact of Christianity. There's a great blessing in Christianity. He found a certain man named Aeneas. The name itself is a non-Jewish name. There's a little bit of a hint right here that the gospel is going to the nations. Peter is going to find this out in a dramatic way in the very next chapter. Right now, Peter finds this man who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. Aeneas is desperately ill. He is without hope. of improvement. 8 years is a long time. But what don't we know, maybe even some of us? Many suffer serious illness for lifelong struggles. Not just 8 years, but 28 years or 38 years. Others go through some things in a very short time. Why is it that some people have some burden, some struggle, some trial, it's over quick, and others goes on and on? The biblical answer is that God's ways are not your ways. God's timing is seldom on our schedule. I always tremble just a little bit when I say, in my mind at least, I'm going to plan to do, because the Lord on so many occasions has turned those plans, changed that schedule. God does His will in each case. The 8 years of suffering or the 8 days of suffering. Aeneas could not restore himself. He was paralyzed. No doctor had helped. It wasn't because he couldn't get to the right clinic. It will take the power of God to fix this problem. Now, we may have lots of illnesses or struggles or physical ailments that doctors can address. But there's one thing they can't work on, and that is your soul sickness. Your soul sickness is incurable. Or let me put it another way. You cannot solve your sin problem on your own. No doctor can fix your sin problem. Only the great physician, Jesus Christ, can bring that cure. Only by His blood and righteousness can your sin be dealt with. The miracles of Christ and the apostles were done to show the authority and power of the message being preached. They also show the mercy of God in Christ. You understand that the gospel was born in the eternal mercy of God before the world began? We do not get what we deserve. If we thought about that on a daily basis, it would make us much more grateful than we are. 1 John 4, verse 10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. What the world needs now, you know the end of that song, you've heard it 1,000 times, right? What the world needs now is mercy. That's the only hope for a world paralyzed by sin. It's the mercy of God in Christ. The mercy of God comes to Lydda in the person of Peter, to a suffering Aeneas. You might say, how does that impact me? Well, the mercy of God is preached to you in the gospel. The word of God is still being preached. God is still coming to you. After thousands of years, there's a blessing to Christianity. What is the goal of that Christianity? Well, Peter says to him, verse 34, Aeneas, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ, heals you. There's a miracle of restoration that happens in Aeneas. Right then, immediately, physically. However, the problem is that we often hear a story like this and think that the goal of Christianity is prosperity. health, happiness, making your life easy. Whatever you've heard, whatever you've experienced, that's not the goal of Christianity. Your prosperity, your health, your happiness, your comfort. The goal of Christianity is to restore your relationship with God. Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to take away every burden that you've ever had. The Son of Man has come to make you prosperous. No, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The shepherd of the sheep has come in order to search for lost lambs. And he will not lose one of them. He's not going to lose Aeneas. He's not going to leave him behind. He's never going to forget you. Romans 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. David sings that marvelous, familiar psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul." We sing another song. What is it, Abby? What's the song? "He gives me back the life I owe." Anybody remember that hymn? That's that line in that hymn anyway. "He gives me back the life I owe. He makes me a new creature." He's not about taking away every struggle, every trial, every burden. But he is about restoring the relationship that was broken. Sin brought ruin into this world. And the man made God, the image of God, tarnished. God made us in his image. Sin tarnished that image. And every time there's a thought, a word, or a deed that pours out of our heart, it shows that there's something amiss, something wrong with that image. The gospel of Christ says what? Do not be conformed to this world. Don't be like this world, but be transformed. The Greek word is metamorpho. Changed like a butterfly. Salvation restores the image of God in us by putting on Christ in faith. There's a change in the relationship. We're no longer enemies with God. We're now friends. Fellowship with God that was broken in the fall of man is restored through Christ alone. Jesus is the way, the only way. And Peter says that. Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Knowing God, being restored in Christ. What a marvelous gospel. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, where? In the face of Jesus. Peter doesn't say, "I heal you." Peter doesn't say, "My ministry affects you." Peter said to him, the power of Christianity is in the Christ that's named. Peter said, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you." It's not the power of Peter. Peter didn't say, "As the head of the church, Peter didn't say, because I have authority, I now tell you. No, the clear gospel is Christ-centered. Charles Spurgeon said, the purest gospel has the least of man in it. Brothers and sisters, when the attention is on the preacher's personality, it's almost not Christianity. It's a culture of personality. The purest gospel has the least of man in it. Peter doesn't tell Aeneas, believe in yourself. Love yourself. Esteem yourself. Trust yourself. Peter's message is what? Look to Jesus. The gospel has not become Reformed and Presbyterian. Now, you should know, I like being Reformed and Presbyterian. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is not go to this crusade or to that exciting church. No, the gospel is, you know where the gospel begins to be found? It's not just in the New Testament. Isaiah 45, verse 22. God says through Isaiah, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That is what man has to believe. Aeneas is not going to get up and run around and say, look what Peter did for me. You should get yourself to Peter and the Peter ministry. Doesn't do anything like that. The power of Christianity is Jesus Christ. And if you do not look to Christ by faith, there is no remedy for your sin-sick soul. No hope outside of Christ. All the power is in Christ, not Peter. And all that power, all that change, all that restoration can only be known by faith alone. But not faith that is alone. What does he say to him? Jesus Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose. After a six-week course of theology? No. Immediately, he got up, made his bed. Aeneas acted on his faith. He believed the gospel that was being presented to him. Jesus the Christ heals you. And then he acted on it. Preached by Peter. He preached about Jesus Christ. And Aeneas didn't wait. He didn't say, well, maybe when I feel it more. He didn't hesitate. Maybe when I get older. Maybe when I finish college. Maybe when I get married. Maybe after the children are grown. And you just, what, push it off for your whole life? I had a friend who said to me, asked her why she wasn't coming to church. Because she was becoming an anesthetist. She was studying anesthesia. She said, my education schedule's... And I said, so for the next 4 years, you're not going to come to church. She didn't. That's sad. That my college is more important than the fellowship of the saints. No, he believed that Jesus Christ could heal him, and he got up and he made his bed. Charles Spurgeon says, when you think what Christ is and what he has done, it ought not to be difficult to believe this. When you think what Christ is and what he has done, it ought not to be difficult to believe this. The testimony that what we're reading about here is the testimony of what Christ did and how he did it through the works of the apostles after he left. It's the record. I might ask you the question, do you believe this? Lots of people, we talked a little bit about miracles this morning as well, that sometimes people are asking and demanding, well, if I could just see a miracle. The section we're in Matthew is where Christ does a miracle and the Pharisees say, that's no miracle, that's devil's work. They see the miracle. They don't even believe it. What was the impact? Verse 35. All who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon. We're not even told about how the word got to Sharon, but two towns now. They saw him. Who? They saw Aeneas. The man they knew who was paralyzed, lying on a bed. They saw him and they turned to the Lord. Turn. This is the essence of all gospel preaching, ultimately. Ezekiel 33, verse 11, the Lord says, as I live, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil way and live. You want a gospel call? It's not every eye closed, every head bowed, every eye closed. It's turn. Turn from your evil way. For why should you die? You know, the Lord said in John 8, verse 24, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. The whole gospel is about turning from the world to the creator of the world. There is a God who spoke and all things came to be. There is a God who has spoken, had his word entrusted into the hands of writers, preserved over generations as a testimony to his power. Jesus comes as God in the flesh and lives, does miracles, dies, is buried, and comes back to life. And he does all that to restore sinners to God. We need to turn from the creature to the maker of all things. The world wants you to be a better person, more in touch with yourself, esteeming yourself, loving yourself. I'm not exaggerating, am I? This is the world we live in. Promote yourself. Get your 10 minutes of fame on TikTok. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says there is none good. No, Not one. All have sinned means me, you. All have fallen short. Our only hope is to turn in faith to the Savior of sinners, to Jesus, who takes the punishment that you deserve, so that you can have the life that He gives. We need to turn from helpless and hopeless life crippled by sin. No, we're not lying on a bed with some physical disability, but we are crippled by sin. Anybody want to be free from sin? There should have been a huge amen right there. Oh yeah, that would have been too Pentecostal. He came to restore to us the power of God in Christ. People saw Aeneas, and they didn't say, "We got to get to Peter." They turned to the Lord. They didn't promote a healing ministry. All the glory went to Jesus. Aeneas believed and acted. If you are a Christian, you have obligations to live like a Christian. You have obligations to have faith with feats. F-E-A-T. You are to strive to live a consistent Christian life. What are your plans tomorrow? My plans tomorrow are to strive to live a Christian life, a consistent Christian life. And when we falter and fail, we confess and repent, and we get back to walking worthy. Love God and love others. The Christian life is an unselfish life. We're not to love ourselves, we're to love God. We're not to love ourselves, we're to love others. We're not to prefer ourselves, we're to prefer others. Jesus Christ came for others. He came for us. He died for us. He rose for us. And He's coming for us. Amen. Jesus was not here trying to get the most likes on a website. And He is still in the world today, through the gospel that's being preached, calling sinners to Himself. You realize that every time the word of God is preached, God is calling sinners to turn. Have you? There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved. You will be restored. You'll be blessed. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank You that there are these miraculous things that were done. We thank You that their focus, their power, their purpose is to exalt Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, that You have sent the Hound of Heaven after us, that He chased us down, changed us from wayward sinners, from rebels, into saints. Father, we still struggle. Maybe we had a rough week last week. Maybe we're not very hopeful about the week that lies ahead. But Lord, we pray that You would continue to work in us and on us and through us to promote this great gospel that turns sinners like us into saints. Father, may we let the light of Christ so shine that people around us will see our good works and glorify You, our Father in heaven, to the praise and glory of Jesus. In whose name we pray.